In today's podcast, I'm reflecting on a significant experience that I had in graduate school as I was going through my clinical psychology program. And it has to do with the concept of being present, being just present with the person that you're with, and how challenging that really is. I had an experience that to this day, and that's been many, many years ago, that still sticks in my mind to show what I'm trying to say by this and how powerful it was for me. Because most of us in our interactions with other people, we're going a million miles an hour. Our minds are fleeting from one thought to the next, to the next, to the next. You're interacting with a lot of different people, experiencing their energy, but yet we're so busy that we don't stop and just experience what it's like to be present with another person. So the experience that I had that left a mark on me, I was going to graduate school, extremely busy. I was getting up early in the morning, working at a methadone clinic, 4 o'clock in the morning, and then I was working with those, you know, with those who struggle with opiate addiction. And I was a counselor, case manager there as I was going through my graduate program. And so always tired, always, you know, getting up early, going to work, and then going to school in the afternoon. So I'd work from about, the clinic opened at 6. And then I'd work till about 2 in the afternoon. I'd come home, maybe sleep for a half hour, hour, and then zip off and then head to school. It took me about 45 minutes to drive to school. I was in the San Francisco, Oakland, Bay Area, and went to a university called John F. Kennedy University. And so I was rushing around, always a little tired, but I got to the parking lot. And then as I was gathering my books together in my backpack, rushing to class, there was a classmate of mine, and she was in the other part of the parking lot near the entrance. So I had to pass her as I was going to my classes. And she, you know, called out to me, says, "Hey, Gordon." And I go, "Hey, how are you?" You know, how we usually do. We usually greet people. But she walked up to me as I was kind of hurrying along, and she stood in front of me and kind of stopped me. And she looked at me and she said, "How are you doing?" And I go, "Oh, I'm doing good, you know, busy, you know, and trying to have that small conversation and then try to move to the side and get going to class." And she kind of kept staring at me, stopped, kind of went in front of me a little bit, and she says, "No, I mean, how are you doing?" And it just stopped me in my tracks. She was completely present with me, giving me her full attention. And I'm telling you, this experience happened 30 years ago. And I still remember what it was like to be with someone who was totally focused on me. And I juxtapose that to an experience I had with a former manager. He was a director in my early part of my career, but I would say he was more of what I call a player. He was interested in power. He was interested in position. He was interested in authority. And I remember specifically being in a room with him and going up and trying to, I can't remember exactly what it was, but there were a lot of people in the room, business leaders and stuff. And so I was, you know, hadn't seen him, you know, in a couple of days or something. So I went up and said, "Hey, how you doing?" Trying to engage in a conversation with them, what's going on? And he was in front of me, kind of turned to the side and would glance at me once in a while. And as he was talking to me, his eyes would leave my eyes and start scanning around the room. And then it'd come back to me, and then it'd scan around the room, and the eyes would come back to me. And so it was like I was trying to have a conversation with him, but in his mind, and knowing him, he's like, who else is in the room? I've got to play the room. What other interactions do I need to have? How do I could just feel that happening. And how that made me feel. It made me feel like, dude, you're not even present with me. Nothing you're saying is going in. You mean nothing. You're playing me just as you're playing who you can get to the next person who you think has more authority or more whatever that you need to be in their good graces so you can play everyone. And I saw him in his career that he, after he left that position, he went to another position and another, always escalating himself up the ladder to where he became a CEO of the organization that, and anyway, running treatment agencies across the country and became very wealthy, but always this mindset behind him, I am smarter than you, and don't you ever forget it. It was kind of that air and that aura about him. And just reflecting on that, even to this day, what a negative experience that left on me. I don't care what position you have. What I care about is what type of a person you are. Are you kind? Are you compassionate? Do you have my best interest in hand as you're communicating with me, trying to understand me? It goes back to kind of the concepts of this thing called motivational interviewing, which the overall definition again is a way of being with people, a way of being with people that makes them feel comfortable, that makes them feel heard, that makes them feel validated and encouraged. And just suggesting to you that you try this out in your relationships with other people. Quiet your mind. And I'm working on this with a few of the clients I'm working with in therapy right now and suggesting that they do it. And one young lady in her early 20s has a so-so relationship with her little brother. And at the end of our session this past week, she says, and you know what? I tried that thing that you suggested at the end of our session the previous week to really try being present with my brother. And she says, I cannot tell you the difference that made. The really, really being present. And I brings me back to one of my favorite all-time movie clips, and I've mentioned this before in these podcasts, but it's so significant that I want to rehearse it again to leave this mark on you, if possible, that it may help you. And it's a old Star Trek movie called Insurrection. And it's about this planet that has this revitalizing energy on it that keeps people young. And so the people who are running the planet are super, super old, but they look like they're in the prime of their life. Anyway, and so the Captain Picard and the starship comes and they're trying to study this people and stuff like that. And they start to interact with them and so forth. Anyway, don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Bottom line is, there's a interaction with the matriarch of that society and Captain Picard as he's studying these people that look like a primitive people, but as a matter of fact, they had learned everything about warp drive and time travel and speed and all this stuff and weapons, and they chose to get rid of all those things. And so they're living in an agrarian culture where they grow their own food. They have artisans and they have tremendous mental capacity. And the interaction between those two, and this is my favorite movie clip, they're walking And Captain Picard was amazed at the mental capacity of their people, of all the thing and their children and all the things that they were learning and doing. And he says to her, did your people's mental capacity or skills develop here? And she says to him, ah, more questions. Always the explorer. If you stay long enough, that'll change. And she says, let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced a perfect moment in time? And Captain Picard says, a perfect moment? Questioning that. Yes, she says, when time seemed to stop, you could almost live in that moment. And then Captain Picard stopped and pondered, reflecting on his life, and he says, yeah, I had one of those moments, seeing my home planet from space for the first time. And then she says, yes, nothing more complicated than perception. And then she said, see, you explore the universe, but we've discovered that a single moment in time can be a universe in and of itself, full of powerful forces. And then he says, and Captain Picard says, wow, I wish I... No, and then she says, most people aren't aware enough of the now to even notice. And then Captain Picard says, wow, I wish I could spare a few centuries to learn that. And then she said, we've learned that it doesn't need to take centuries to learn. So it was a great interaction of just slowing down, being fully present. And it reminds me of what the Greek philosophers focused on, this thing called phronesis, P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S, phronesis, the application of wisdom. What is wisdom? And their definition is, so imagine that, this being back into the present moment, slowing down and giving someone fully your attention. It's this is the application of wisdom, doing the right thing to the right person for the right reason, in the right way, at the right time, and in the right place. And I know that can be very challenging as we're navigating through the world that is moving so fast that there's just millions of things just floating by us all the time, people coming and going. But I just leave you with this idea and encourage you to experiment with it. Pay attention, slow down, first of all, to how you feel. How you feel about thinking about those in your life. And then the next time you have an opportunity to be with someone that you want to give your full attention to and your full presence, but try it. Just be there with them. Try to shut out and quiet all other distractions and thoughts and just focus on them. That's the essence of what empathy is. And one of the most powerful things in therapy or in relationships that help is that a person truly has the experience of feeling heard, understood, loved, and validated. And I suggest to you, there is nothing more powerful in life. And when a person has those feelings that they really are valued, loved, appreciated, have some sense of importance, then they don't have to do or chase after all of the things that the world has to offer that simply make you feel more lonely, like drugs, alcohol, pornography, all of those endless gaming, all of those things just make you feel more lonely. And the very core and essence of who we are as human beings is truly being able to connect with other individuals in deep and meaningful way. Because at the end of the day, I think the thing that's going to be more important than anything else in your life as you're reflecting on your life is when you are gone, how do people remember you? How do they think of you? Like I just mentioned briefly, my experience with my one former boss, I really don't have that great of feelings towards him because he really wasn't interested in me. In the past, he was interested in himself and this other person. And it's interesting. I don't even remember her name. I only had brief interactions with her in class, but she was practicing this herself. But I do remember standing in the parking lot with her and her stopping and giving me her full presence. It made a mark on me to the point that I'm even talking about it. And I don't remember her name. And I don't even truly remember what she looked like, but I remembered it left a mark on me because she was 100% just with me for 5 minutes. And then we went our ways, but it made a difference. So I'm suggesting again, try that out in your life. Truly try to hear someone, to understand them, to validate them, and just see what that is like and how you can incorporate that into your life and make more of a difference in the life of other people and quit worrying so much about yourself and your own needs. Anyway, just leave you with those thoughts. Hope you have an amazing week and talk to you later.